Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to your next installment of Insight Intelligence with Mario Beckers. Now, before we get on to the show, just some housekeeping. Now, as today would have it, there appears to be some shifting of satellites and energy misdirection today. So not only has Zoom been playing up, but my satellite has been playing up, and I've had to revert to the ancient ADSL system for my internet. And I really need you to listen to what Mario has to say today. So if you see me not moving, I will put my photo up instead of me, but I want you to focus on the lovely Mario Beckers. Now, if you're listening live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, we have Hannah ready and waiting to listen out and watch out for your comments, your questions, and provide you with links to anything that we talk about today. Now, if you've missed any of Mario's important shows, I want you to catch up on YouTube. And that's Tony Lontis. And also you can follow Mario's YouTube channel as well. And the links will appear everywhere you see this interview. An important part of what we need to do each week is to recognize the international movement that acknowledges the special and important role Indigenous communities play in the development of a country's cultural identity. This is incredibly important from my standpoint, so I want to graciously and gratefully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region on the Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia, the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and broadcast, and pay my respect to the elders past and present, all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Thank you for watching and listening. Now, this is the next installment in a series of shows that I am doing with Mr. Mario Beckers. Now, Mario grew up in communist Croatia, which was then part of Yugoslavia, and he witnessed a lot of social unrest before finding himself in the middle of the Croatian War. Now, Mario's world was turned upside down, and he was ordered to present at the army barracks, and thus started his journey in life at a mere 18 years old. Today, Mario is a natural born leader. He's a public speaker, an educator, a trainer, a result driven best selling published author. He's a relationship builder and a facilitator with extensive experience in investigative techniques, interviewing, interrogation methods, corporate, human, and competitive business intelligence. And this is an incredible place in which Mario and his team play globally and assist with all manner of investigative and surveillance work. Now, each week we've been talking about a different element of what Mario and the team do, Insight Intelligence, and today is no different. Welcome back to the show, Mario. We're going to talk about forensic investigations today, and I am excited. Mario, how's your week been going?
So far, so good, I must say. Like, it was a short one, as you know, Tony. We had Easter Monday.
I know.
And this weekend, it's again a long weekend. However, I don't see the time. You know what I mean? Like, that is, you know, you just need to just take a break because of the sake of taking break. And but I can see the rain. It's going to force us to stay indoors this weekend.
No.
It's like it just, man, doesn't make sense. I'm serious. Somebody's manufacturing
Australia
this rain.
Australia has been so wet this year, Mario.
Very much, yeah, very much.
So much rain all over the place.
Yes, it did. You know, I mean, like
Mario.
Yes.
Lots of rain. And so Mario's in Sydney, which is also the eastern side of Australia, and the eastern side of Australia has just been inundated with wet weather, flooding, all sorts of manner of water-induced events, and we are appreciative of the rain. But we've had enough now, and I think
we have
Mario
enough.
Would agree.
We have enough. Yeah, look, I don't want to say, but you know, I'm glad, I'm grateful to David Tony Lontis on her show,
yes.
And thank you, Tony, for allow me to be the co-host. And as well, I'd like to say thank you to the team in US and across the globe for making this streaming possible to all our viewers. So thank you.
It's wonderful, Mario, that we have technology to assist us and in talking to people across the globe. So it's now possible and doable to talk to anyone from the US, UK, Germany, South Africa, just across the planet. And that's the purpose of why we have Mario on the show. And today, our topic is forensic investigations, and Mario's team use forensic investigations from data recovery to marine and automotive investigations and for court and tribunal proceedings as expert witnesses. And so, Mario, I wanted to begin this week. We all have a concept and idea of what forensic investigation looks like based on popular television shows. Can you tell us what it's like in the real world versus TV world?
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for asking this question. I was the one who believed what's appearing on TV that is reality. But forensic investigation, it's very complex operational aspect. And I'll just draw this from my very first, the date with the forensics. 95, when I was in military state security intelligence services, I was being asked to attend police academy. And I didn't have a high opinion about this type of education or with other corps and, doing all this fancy stuff because I believed I was the guy who knows everything. Unfortunately, I didn't know everything. So the very first moment, exactly when we walk in police academy, and you can imagine, like, there's all these people highly educated, with the 10, 15 years on the field as a detectives and investigators. Excuse me. I walked inside and, it was noticeable that there's this guy doesn't belong here, me and other two or three other people from military because they have different green uniforms. And, we are all like stiff and everything, like a robot. But I do remember the very, very first moment from entering that class, there was a senior lecturer there for, 20, 30 years. And first of all, he told us how to kill somebody and you can't find the murderer. And we were like, oh, come on, we can find everything. So he was explaining the methods and the ways. And unfortunately, forensic doesn't start only from the scratch. It starts from the end. And as I build that momentum in learning, I become very, very hungry for more knowledge. And sometimes asking for more knowledge it is not preferable method because you're being noticed as like this guy, he asks for more and more. Forensic was presented to me at the very first beginning from the moment that there was a crime happened and it happened, you can't find who did. So you build that to the questionnaire model, right? You have the 10 golden questions of criminalistics, which you apply in every forensic investigation. So you don't see this on TV, Tony. You don't see that investigators like, I need to ask these questions. It is something which is applicable across law enforcement agencies, those 10 golden questions of criminalistics, which applying today as well in corporate world and gives you good direction where you need to assess how to conduct investigation. So you had the first one, you attending the crime scene. In the TV shows, you can see the crime scene is going to be, usually everything's been sealed and everything's been
perfect.
And then you see the investigator like using his imagination. I'll come to this imagination a little bit later. But in reality, when I was doing the training and education for those 6 months, how to conduct forensic investigation of the suspicious deaths in where they've been involved vehicles, all type of vehicles from airplanes, cars and trains and everything else. We were being given the tools to, and you can imagine 95, there was not much digital technology then. So it has been, must be measured and everything must be sealed and everything needs to be how to put this, need to be inspected in so many different ways, every piece of the evidence
Yes.
that something happened, even today. So even today, we're seeing the crime scene in the shows, as I say, it's perfectly sealed, and an investigator comes there,
Yeah.
he already sees the picture, right, who done this. In reality, it's totally different. For something to happen, there needs to be the motive. If it's a car accident, for example,
yes.
car accidents happened for the, you know, for the various reason, you know, one of the drivers lost
they
control,
do.
A vehicle he's not technically, you know, capable to be driven, you know, I mean, on the roads, you know, alcohol, drugs. There's so many elements why
yeah.
some car accident happen. When it comes to the murder, there's usually premeditated murders or the the murders which happen from the
crimes of
passion side,
passion.
yeah, passions and all these things. But always must be there some type of motive. So it doesn't matter what's happened, you need to investigate what caused it. Prior event, which we don't see on TV. So that's a forensic. So, you know, like imagine the black box of the airplane and why they usually searching
yes.
for this, because that black box has all these metrics and data inside, which shows how plane was functioning, not just today, but 2 months earlier, 3 months earlier, and particular moment when accident happened.
Ah.
So you can see there's a corresponding activities, what pilots stated to the behavior plane. Yes, correct. So you can't trick this one. In first investigations, usually you come on a crime scene, which needs to be, once when some crime happened, people, they don't know civilians, you know, let's go putting the, you know, the barricades and, you know, protect the field. Usually when the police arrive, usually it's a patrol comes, police officers, who are the first on a crime scene. Those people are the most, most valuable
important.
For any important for any investigation, because they're the first talking to witnesses. They shield the crime scene, they protect the crime scene, and they secure a crime scene from, you know, people being bringing the
nosy
different
and
type,
getting in the way.
Yeah, like, and the people usually, like, you know, when, and tragedy is when something happens, people walk around, you know, I mean, they leave their fingerprints, they leave their footprints,
yeah.
and so on. So when this happened, the patrol and police, they collecting the, what's it called, the macro evidence, right? The securing macro evidence. This can be knife, it can be gun. The
big evidence.
Case shellings, yeah, that's called the macro. You have the micro evidence, which is like usually DNA, you know, the blood and the tissue, hair, and all these things. So it's a two different aspects in forensic investigation, very required. And then you start investigating, you know, the crime scene. Crime scene is must be, as I said, like, must be sealed, you know, marked properly, because you need to make a photo elaborate, and people can be presented to court or law today had the video cameras, and, you know, it's much more in detail. Before, when I was studying, there was no such a thing, you know, high quality resolution video, right? It was being done on a VHS camera, beta camera, and you can imagine all these grades like a Minecraft, you know, so just guessing everything. So you can imagine how many crimes actually gone off from trials because unsubstantial evidence.
Is it harder for Mario? Is it harder to commit a crime in this day and age with all the science and technology that we have? Obviously, they still happen, but is it a bit harder with all the knowledge that we have in this day and age?
You must take this from the back, and more or less. And there was a recent case in US where the lady, she's been prosecuted, and she's been sentenced. She was googling on Google how to kill person, how to poison the person, and in all these things. So those first time want to commit a crime, you know, they will look the ways to the shows, the series, you know, they go on the internet. So. Yeah, so this is the micro traces as well. They're leaving, you know, behind themselves, which is directing that they on a path that they were preparing to do some type of criminal activity, take somebody's life.
Some bad.
Yeah, so when you take the, you know, because you asked this question, I'll reflect that question right now. When somebody's been, life being taken, usually it's going to be taken by technical, mechanical means or, you know, or some other tools. Tools can be personal hand, can be the knife, and, you know, all this. So when you do forensic investigation, of course, the body goes into the into proper places where they forensically investigating how somebody lost their life, you know, due to what, with what. So sometimes you can't find the weapon, you know, if somebody was taken, because everything we use it to some, for somebody to take the life, it's considered a weapon. That can be, you know, the bottle of water, if he capable, of course, like a Riddick in his movie, taken with the killing people with a teacup. But that's considered a weapon. So forensically, they're investigating and scientifically examining the body to see how death actually was caused, with what, and, you know, how. And usually that's been involved in, I mean, with you know, examining the entire body, and you know, it's a wound of the gun or the rifle, is a knife, is a screwdriver. You know, screwdriver is a very dangerous weapon. People, they don't know this, because screwdriver is the difference between the knife and screwdriver. It is when screwdriver causes internal bleeding and doesn't leave the traces of blood outside. So people are, you know, being educated.
Oh, wow.
In different ways. Poisoning is a one thing, you know what I mean? And then, of course, as I said, the black box. You need to look into the historical data of the person who lost the life, you know, what was leading to that moment that person lost the life. And, of course, when you do this macro and micro traces, you know, as evidence you're collecting, you try to match the databases you already have or the way somebody's been killed. People forget it quite often that some murders, some criminal activities matching, doesn't matter is a fraud or is a taking life to somebody. But usually it's a signature. Everybody has a signature. Every thief has a signature, you know what I mean? They're using different tools and they're using different...
Every single person?
Yeah, except if you're the very first time, the crime of passion, you know what I mean? That's what's often happened for the different purposes, insurance, the money, and, you know what I mean, the hate, the jealousy, they want to remarry and everything else. And, you know, world is full of these things. So it's not that good enough if somebody has an alibi. An alibi can be created in so many different ways, and which we don't see on TV. So, like, you know, what we don't see on TV, it's that legwork. We usually see the shortest possible version, and you see the guy in a white coat or the lady in a white coat, and she's doing something, you know what I mean? So, okay, I found the traces. Traces, it's very hard to find. Let's just say, for example, when I was in a war, which I didn't know, when I was doing this forensic investigation training for 6 months at the course, we were collecting evidence of the people who used the firearm to take the life of somebody. And we all been turning our heads towards the casing, to the weapon, and all this one. And all these micro traces, right, you know, it stays on the black powder, right? It stays, you know, on your skin, on your clothing.
Can you and wash people, it off, Mario?
You can wash the powder, but it still stays there. You know, I mean, the residue stays there because it's an explosion behind this. So there's these micro traces. You know, I mean, I can't teach people what to do. So, like, but there's always the way to match. You know, what I mean,
what not to do?
Yeah, not today. But so you're matching the weapon. You know, the casing, because they, you know, they use it usually. It's not so sophisticated way. You know, you fire the weapon. You know, I mean, take the casing. Compare with the casing, because every weapon has a different point of contact between the bullet and the needle, right? And as well, there's a lot of these micro traces which can be collaborated between them to prove that person was using that weapon in a given moment to take somebody's life. Take somebody's life, to kill somebody. So forensic is not just coming crime scene and, you know, like we go in imagination. Now, the fancy stuff it is that investigates detectives using imagination. Imagination, it is very, very important. And this is not something which you write down on paper and put as evidence. So like in your life and anybody's life, and particularly in the business, when something happened, you create a couple of scenarios in your head. That's what the detective is doing. They create scenarios in their head based on evidence or they found. So let's go make a difference, you know, in forensics. Evidence, it is the knife, the gun, you know, the blood. The fact it is that you're supporting, collaborating evidences with a place and time of something happening, which means, like, you can prove that that tire has been used by XYZ. That's the fact. And or that person admit, yes, I use that knife. That's the fact. So using all these evidences to build in your head couple scenarios. And in crime investigations or any investigation, that's very important. That's what the police or detectives are doing. They put couple scenarios. They see that something was happened and they try to, in their head, deduct with every new evidence found to deduct one of their scenarios, which you come to most, that's correct. So you come to most plausible scenario in your head, which you try to support with your fact findings methods, evidences, interviews, statements, and so on, so on. So forensic, it doesn't include only, you know, the person in the white coat and the doctor who opens the wound. Sometimes, but sometimes people who are doing this pathological examination or the autopsy, it takes quite some time to understand this, you know, because people don't understand when you come to for the autopsy, that person is open inside, outside, right? It usually goes the cut here, you know, on the note and, you know, the chest, they open. So you examine everything, you know what I mean? And because you need to establish that person, he died from certain wounds, but maybe had a failure in the bodies and, you know, that some diseases which contributed to some suspicious deaths. Usually, you know, Tony, nobody does an autopsy on somebody who died in their bed. It's a 79 years old and has a previous, you know, medical conditions, cancer, diabetes, whatever, you know, not a medical. But we have somebody who's a 15 years old and died in the bed. Of course, they're going to do autopsy, you know, because it's not normal. It's not acceptable that a 15 years old, you know, healthy child dies in the bed. So forensic is involving as well as like evidence collecting, researching the data, matching the evidence to the, I will call the signature to previous crime events activities happen. Usually, as I said, like there's a signature for the each criminal, how they're doing these things. And then, you know, you come to the point where in forensic investigations, it's very important that what you found, it's so very, very well evidented in that photo laboratory, on the video, diary, what they presented in court and everything else, that follows the story and narrative of when you give the DPP, public prosecutor, that this scientific method has been used before, and usually it's matching, you know, accuracy 99% of the crime before that. That's very important. And on TV, Tony, unfortunately, they don't depict this because they don't know how to depict this, and it'll be quite boring. You know, I mean, like, you know, when you get the, you give the gun some, you know, to investigate the gun and try to find, this doesn't happen, you know, I mean, simultaneously like this, or you saw born identity.
It takes a long time in real life, doesn't it?
Yeah, forensics takes a long time because
process takes a long time.
Because it's a science. It's a science. This is not something people can just, you know. Then you have the forensic investigations, for example, where they found a body which is decayed and you know, been buried for a couple of years, couple days. Yes, it is, because that's a very painful, first of all, because, you know, sometimes of this, of the bodies found after many, many years, you know, it's usually just a bone and some clothing. I don't want to go into details, but you need to match this person. It is person you found to the person we believe it's missing. So as, let's go say the police get a tip and they found that body after 10 years. They need to say, who is that person? So there's a lot of scientific work there on that body to establish identity of that person, you know, and to the medical records, to the blood type, to the DNA, which you need to call the somebody else's parents or relatives or so all these things. So there is a lot of hard work in forensic and doesn't involve the guy who comes with the gloves on his hand and gun. Usually people who are doing the forensic investigations, you saw they're coming in sealed suits, and I mean everything else to be sterile as possible, not to disturb the crime scene, and collecting the data and evidence else, and sealed a couple days later, the crime scene has been sealed because you never know what's going to appear. I had a case, I have several cases, I'm going to say this one. We have the very good. Well, it was more was a hunch, right? Intuition that one
Yes, yes,
person
yes,
was
yes.
was taking the lives of the of certain profile of the people. And my department was being tasked because he was a high position officer to the
Yeah.
investigation. And you can't just come to somebody and like take the phone book and just like, doesn't work that way. It's like, you need to prove this one. So, long story short, for some reason, we got a tip from somebody that he's quite often. He is renovating his unit and, you know, fresh coat of paint and everything else. And you can't
Yeah.
just run to somebody's apartment like, let me inspect, you know, you need to go to the magistrate and ask for the, you know, I mean, search warrant and everything else. And if you don't provide enough evidence, of course they're going to say like, you know, are you insane? I mean, so we work very diligently with a store who was selling the paint. And one of our sellers was actually one of our operatives, and he was start making questions, and he's become friendly, and he said, "Listen, I can help you, you know what I mean, put you know extra coat and everything else," and you know he's become uneasy. And anyway, we collected enough evidence, I would say, that we have the reason to believe that he was murdering people in his unit. And when we finally got a warrant, Tony, you know, I come with my team, and the unit was immaculate, you know, clean. Nobody has that immaculate unit, you know. It's like it's so perfect, right? But you know, there is no traces. So, like, what we did, you know, we done all these UV lights, and nothing could be found. And then what happened?
Oh,
As a
wow.
yeah, as a dusk was, you know, setting. I said, like, let's go do more because we done the UV lights. You know, the guy was not experienced, so he was doing the UV lights, and there was a bright light coming through the balcony. I said to him, okay, let's go wait another hour to be pitch black. And of course, you can't hide splats of the bloods, you know what I mean, on a wall just by
Because it goes
painting.
everywhere.
Yeah, you see the biologically, our blood, it's truly tremendous. You know, I mean, he gives a life, he carries the food and everything else, but as well, he can, it's a signature to every gruesome murder, unfortunately. So we saw that there's a lot of, you know, splattered blood around the walls and nothing on furniture. And he was sitting there, he said, that's a paint. So we need to prove that this is the blood will be. You know, under like a 50 coats of paint. I'm just lying, maybe it was a 10 paints of coat.
I was just gonna say, so he's done lots of paints of coat, but you can still see that there's blood spatter there,
Yeah,
even under those
because
paints of coat,
what he
those coats of
forgot,
paint.
blood has very unique features which you can't wash away. So it doesn't matter how much paint he was
No.
putting there. And I think it was like a 6, 7 coats. And it was a very challenging for us. So I need to call a different team to
Gosh.
take a part of that wall, literally take a part of that wall, you know, not just scrap things because, and then while you're doing that process, you need to record everything what you're doing. Who is doing what? Why is doing? With what tools? So there's no contamination of the tools and everything else. And took the Forensic Institute in Capital City 2 months to prove that one of the Thai bloods was matching to the one of the victims, and then goes the process of trying to prove more. So we've gone, you know, searching for furniture, and we found some things. It took us 7 months to find decent evidences that he was, yeah, I think it was a 6 or 7 people he killed in his unit, for the
Gosh.
benefits of the financial benefits. So he had a good, you know, good story. He will attract older lady in the old age, and he will drug them, and they will sign him everything off, and he become the owner. And look, he can't, you know, that's a suspicious activity itself, but he can't prove that, you know, but when the person is missing, who signed that document that he gives you unit and house and money, you know, it's enough motives there, you know, me to believe that's what it is. But the body was missing, tools of the, and Yeah, and what it happened, one of the knives we found with his child, who was living with the mother in different city.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so like, that was enough to prove, you know what I mean, that, and then he admitted later on that that's what he was doing, and he didn't bury them, he was using the machine for the mincing meat. And so it was a very yeah, but don't forget,
Grizzly.
very grisly. And they usually know that, if you have no evidence which they can relate to the activity, taking lives or murder, whatever it is, they're gonna behave that way for so long. But there's a breaking point. There's a breaking point because you always come back with more. We are alive. We need to take a more paint. We need to take a this, and he become an unease and uneasy. And we knew that we were going track. So we start using imagination, and eventually he break out. After 6 7 months, took us from that moment of inspecting those walls scientifically to prove that the blood belongs to one of the victims. The tools what she was using was using for the purpose of taking lives, and then as well garbage. We need to search the garbage as well. So that's a forensics, you know what I mean? It's a scientific approach
Yeah, that's
in collecting,
and takes a long time and
analyzing, yeah,
needs
and
a lot
presenting, you
of
know.
training and understanding as well,
Yes.
Mario,
So
goes into that.
my job was only to investigate. My job was not even to because I don't know how to look the blood on, you know what I mean? I don't know how to, I'm presenting evidence or you know what I mean, to the team or the scientists, you know what I mean, who knows how to do this. So we all work together to try to prove the theory, most plausible theory, and then we'll start digging more and more and more, and eventually you find. But that's like people believing by going to Google they're going to educate themselves. Same goes in a white collar crime, in fraud. Fraud is another aspect of the where the
Yes.
forensics investigation goes, where I'm fitting
It's
that
the
role.
same process, isn't it, Mario,
Absolutely,
for
yes.
fraud and for motor vehicle insurance fraud, marine investigation. It's the same extensive process, isn't it, to
It
find
is.
out
It
what
is.
crime has been committed.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that there's always a motive behind that crime. The bit that always escapes me is that no amount of money in the world would convince me that I needed to kill someone. So I struggle to understand what happens in someone's brain that flips that switch that causes them to think that killing someone or creating a motor vehicle accident or burning a boat to collect the insurance money or the proceeds is enough to kill someone. That's the bit that I don't understand.
I'm not a psychologist, and I'll not go in that part because I can't verify. I'm not training this one. But what I can say from my personal experience, each time when I do investigation, regardless is a marine, is a car accident, and in the past when I was doing all these criminal investigations, where I was being involved espionage or murder, people always justify themselves. In that very moment only, don't forget, everybody justified their action. And they will portray themselves like they're going to portray themselves in the best possible way. But when they've been caught, they're going to say that they are had a reason to do this. And the reason taking somebody's life does not exist. Not even, when people, in US is that's obvious, they executing the inmates who are being, sentenced to the death sentence. Even that is a lengthy process. People stay in prison for 20 years, 30 years, and nobody takes nobody's life, nobody has a right to do this. But from my personal experience, particularly when it comes to investigations of the, as I say, marine type of investigations, car accidents, people have justification why they this. It's very hard to you prove that some person, look, it looks very, how to say, Tony, very pleasing, for the somebody to say, I drove myself between the Sydney Canberra, somewhere on the highway, and I hit kangaroo, right? Okay.
Yeah.
But there's no trace of kangaroo on your car because nobody asked them to prove this. We asked these questions. But as well, you ask yourself, why would you travel in Canberra? Why would you travel in Canberra at 7 o'clock at night? And that's how you're unfolding all these things, because you're supporting your theory of investigation during the questioning time, that you are, they support you with the evidence that they, what they did, it's true. Now, what most of the process for getting, particularly in dealing with my company, and I'm very proud of investigators working for this firm, I always stipulate in this one,
yes,
take the extra length, go visit the scene, check the scene. So, you know, somebody will say, I drove the car outside the scene, it was a very rainy. That was happened 3 months ago. Don't worry. Bureau of Meteorology has the access here. I mean, where was raining that day? Wasn't raining that day? Yeah. So
you'll
this
be
is
able to know.
Yeah, of course. And then I hit again kangaroo, but there's no kangaroos there. You know, I mean, there's, you know, just exaggerate. You know, I mean, it's just mountains, right, or whatever it is. So, you know, you're forensically inspecting the evidence by inspecting the crime scene, by inspecting the statements given to you to access the answer. Because when you're being asked what happened, this is your statement. Mm. Our job is to approve or disapprove your statement. Yes. And this is where the most of the fraudsters believe they can go away. It cannot go away, particularly with the fire. Even fire, we're doing fire investigations. And people, you know, investigations we did in the past, it's always trace, because people who are doing those type of investigations for my firm, they already know what to look for, the source of the fire. And they know what has been used to ignite the fire. And, you know, as like, you know, today technology, today DNA, Tony, even your neighbor has a CCTV. Yes. So, you know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe you set up everything for your backyard, but your neighbor has a CCTV and says, no.
Well.
Yeah, I saw that Tony and Mario walking the street 2 o'clock in the morning and pushing the
York. They had a can of petrol. What were they doing?
So, you know.
They were heading towards that boat.
Yeah, so the criminals need to think of this way. It's not what you know or what you can prove.
It's what other people know.
Exactly. And that's where the problem starts for many. And you have the many organizations who are being the victim of the fraud, and they hired many firms to be investigated. And I saw these sloppy investigations as well, where I will ask questions, you know, why this is not has been done. And not my client, but ask myself. So either not enough training, not enough experience, or they don't know what they're doing. Either way, I need to rectify everything. And usually the witnesses are those ones who come out and say, is it true or is not true? So even that part, but say forensic investigations is nothing what they look like on TV, particularly in law enforcement agencies. And secondly, because Tony, if that's a true, every crime will be solved in 24 hours. It's not that fast.
Yes. Mario, your early forensics career was obviously in police and military and in that true criminal sense. And your company now still works within that arena, but it's often around those fraudulent type activities that we've just talked about. Including, you know, car accidents, marine accidents, air accidents, but it's also around data. And I wanted to make sure the audience is aware that this is quite a big part of what you do, and your expertise is around that intellectual property data, suspicious activity, deletion of data, securing data. You do quite a lot in that area, and it I'm guessing that it's becoming quite a big thing and a quite big part of what your company does is around protecting, recovering data. Can you tell us a bit about that, Mario? Because despite I know that your team are hugely trained in all avenues, and I'm thinking that this electronic data area and fraud around electronic data, it's completely different from, say, the forensics and science biology type, but it's equally important, isn't it? It can have huge impacts on companies and business if someone takes their intellectual property or
That's right,
deletes
yeah.
their data or they can't recover their data. There's a huge amount of work that involved where your team have to come in and find stuff or find who took the data or recover where the frauds happened within business. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please, Mario?
Absolutely, Tony. We are witnessing, you and I, that world around us, including us inside this world, every day it's more and more developed. What I'm saying is, in my previous conversation with you on forensics, 95, I entered that world and everything was a manual, analog. There was no digital technology. What happened in past 20 years, the world becomes flat. And I don't mean literally flat, but everything's happening from point A to point B via internet. Or perhaps Elon Musk satellites. So hello, Elon. But it's a
Yes, can
point.
we have your satellite back on?
Thank you, Elon, for the Elon making the world a world around again. So, but everything's happening in a point A to point B with a flat line. I would call the internet. And in the past 2 years, all our listeners and viewers now would agree that COVID put us in a situation we never experienced before. Either corporations or were being prepared or nobody to work from home. Working from home in a nutshell means that our majority were using their domestic technology, home technology. Laptop at home is not necessarily equally strong as a computer at work. Plus, at home, you don't have the firewalls and all these safety, secure features we are applying to protect our data in corporations. Now, that's not the issue. The issue is the behavior of recipient and those who is sending the message from point A to point B. And the gatekeepers usually is us. So technology, once when we log into computer, Tony, we open the door, we invited everybody. Someone's gonna ping us on a chat or Messenger or Twitter, whatever it is. And in 2014, my company, one of the projects we've done, because it's very significant. We've been tasked by the company from US National destructing safety, security, data. It's a big acronym for them, but they basically what they're doing, the data destruction, sorry, the destruction of the corporate property and data and so on. And what they did to us, they say they want to see how it's possible. The data is leaking from corporations. And we all know that feeling when somebody take advantage of us. Corporations usually learn this later, but individuals earlier. So what they did, they purchased 52 hard drives. 52. We don't know origin. They know where they've been purchased. They purchased across the globe, inclusive Australia. And they deliver to us. And they say, this is the 52 hard drives. We'd like to know if it's anything deleted, or is anything there, or it's just empty. So we didn't know what was new hard drive, what was old, and corporations usually give the hard drives to somebody delete the data. From 52 hard drives, we found on 27, if I believe, 27 hard drives, we found the data. Majority of these hard drives has been sold by company to the market, right? Because that is deleted, so we can recuperate some money by selling the hard drives. From 52, I think we found almost 27. data hard drives is data being there, and most of them the data was being hard drives was being given either for destruction or they've been resold by believing the company they give the hard drives to delete the data,
Oh.
those not delete them. And that itself is a problem
Oh.
because once when you
Yes.
purchase that hard drive and you put in your computer, your laptop, whatever it is, you're already accessing very critical and very sensitive data of some corporation.
Information.
And selling information today, it's very easy. How this is happening, Tony, what people don't understand, the fraud doesn't happen only by stealing the data. You need to sell the data. This is where the problem is. And to sell the data on the market, and I'm happy to share with everybody this at this very stage, there's a couple
Yes,
gaming
please.
platform few gaming platforms where you and I playing, purchasing the homes, the armies. Yeah. So that's how the data
Yes,
exchange is going
yes.
on. And that's the way the market it is. So it's, you have the gaming platforms where the genuine people play, millions of people every given moment,
Yes.
but actually the trading of information is going there. And they're purchasing from each other the data. And
Oh, my goodness.
it's very difficult to trace this once when the data is out. So whether my company
Yeah.
goes, it's they're investigating that potentials, the potential breaches of the cybersecurity, but not in terms of the inspecting just the cyber side,
So it's a
but
crime,
it's a crime.
Mario.
It's a
It's
crime. It's a
definitely a crime, isn't it? It's a crime to sell company or corporate information that you don't own the rights to. It's
That's
a
correct.
criminal activity.
But they're doing,
Yeah.
like you can look, you and I can go on a train tomorrow, you and Tony driving from Sydney to Melbourne, just an example. And I guarantee we're gonna find the mobile phone, we're gonna find the USB. So the question is, what people do with this? Of course, the curiosity is it drives the people. And they will plug into the laptop or
Yes.
computer, open that mobile phone, hack it, whatever it is.
Yes.
They're gonna say, wow, look at this. 1 in 100 will be malicious intent, and that person will do everything.
Really?
Yes, because as again, it's like you don't need to do this in Australia, but you send to your relatives in U.S., for example.
Wherever.
They
Yeah.
start digging these things, whether it's you're far away from this judiciary arm of the law and the prosecution.
Yeah.
So that's why you go to the clients. I always stipulating prevention is a mother of all victories in business rather than being investigated. However, bigger we are, corporations they are, they're hiring all these experts and teams, and they're hiring people just based on recommendations, and due diligence has not been done properly, and the data is flying out of corporation. Same go with the fraud. And don't forget, Tony, when somebody's in charge of some operations in company and is determined to commit a fraud, they will do everything to cover the traces. But you can't cover everything. There's this micro trace. This is the micro traces, no micro, micro
Yes.
traces, which we're finding during investigation.
You'll
Go send for
find.
the car. Yeah, for the car. Absolutely. There's always a signature somewhere. There's always digital fingerprint.
Okay.
There's always intent and motive for
Yes.
something to be done. Just need to know how
Okay.
to investigate.
Yeah. Mario, it's not just big corporations that can be impacted by these sorts of crimes. There's a lot of identity theft happening in this world from mobile phones, from laptops, from devices. And it really can disrupt someone's life to have their identity stolen, can't it?
Absolutely, Tony. I agree with you 100% on this one. And as you and I spoke today earlier and many other days, we don't need to go too far away. You can go just on any social media platform and see, Mario Beckers has 50 million
Yes.
followers. I don't, but I'm saying. And people, copy my replica, try to replicate my Facebook, and they'll try to come in touch with everybody, anybody. That's a good start.
Yes.
It's hard to prevent something which
Facebook's
you,
very prolific for those sorts of things,
So you can't not to hate, but always come to the people. Be careful what you put there. Content is a king of the victory this in this instance. People love to project something out, and they try to project the power, the money, the status, and everything else. More you project these things out, more appealing you're going to be for identity theft. And as I said, like
targeted.
COVID, yeah, exactly. Architects behind all this identity theft, they have the motive. Usually it's some money, right? It's usually some money. We have to see a lot of the crime of hate, I will call this, where the revenge goes, you know, business partner versus business partner, ex-lovers, you know, all these things, and try to hurt people.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. Identity theft is real. And, you know, even I don't know in this very moment that somebody doesn't use my name to say I was Mario Beckers with Tony Lontis doing this, but it's over the phone. So they can't verify this. That's where we come, Tony. Try to verify identity of the person or the group for the purpose of continuity of the business, or, you know, hire them or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But identity theft is real. It's happening, and it will happen, continue to happen, regardless what we put there. Because don't forget one thing, and always come back to that point. Fraudsters have the one great tool, and that is imagination. So they imagine the things before even they conduct. That's like a law of attraction.
Yeah.
Our job it is
to
extinguish these dreams and prove that they committed fraud or crime, and law enforcement agents take it over, and everybody else who is necessary to prosecute that crime.
Mario, if someone has had their identity stolen, you can help them find where that's gone and who's done that, can't you?
That's correct. We've done many cases. Like, I'll not drop the numbers.
I was
like,
just
going to
say, that's a lot of work.
It's happening at least 2 or 3 times per week, where the people come to us and they say, this way. Because, again, police can do so much, right? And that's why they're hiring us, the power that they are.
I was just going to say, people think that police have this huge capacity to help and fight crime. Well, actually, they don't. They're focused on the high-level bad things. And so if you go to them in an identity theft situation, the chances are that they won't get to solving your crime simply because they don't have the manpower and the time, which is where companies like Insight Intelligence can help. Because if you understand that the police are busy, they don't have the resources, you can actually get results by going to a private company like Insight Intelligence to help you solve it, and then go, okay, guys, here's the evidence. Please get this sorted. That's, I think, one of the best things that I've learned from getting to know Mario and Insight Intelligence is that there is help out there. You just need to think about it differently and not expect that in all situations the police are going to be able to do everything to solve your crime.
That's
you might want to be a little bit proactive and engage with a private investigator, a private investigative firm to help get things happening quicker and sorted quicker, Mario.
That's correct, Tony. That's correct. That's like, again, police gets calls per day, thousands of calls. We get 2 calls. So, you know, they need to sort. They have so much on their plate, you know what I mean, that they can't attend everything simultaneously. They need to prioritize. And that's where
they
step in, and we help the people to sort out these things and then go to police with the evidence we collected.
Yeah. Mario, I've just looked at the time, and I wanted to talk to you
time
about
is flying,
being
yes.
expert witness. I know. There's so much to talk about. It's so good. It's fascinating
stuff.
We'll
touch this next time.
What
a privilege.
Tommy. I was just going to say, what we'll do, audience, is we will touch on expert witness and how you help in that realm as well, because it's a hugely important component of what you do. It's very important, and there's some key elements around being an expert witness that are important for people to know. So we will continue this conversation next week, starting with the expert witness and judicial system and court processes around that. But Mario, thank you so much for sharing from that depth of knowledge and expertise. I love talking to you. I love getting to share you with the audience. I want people to know that if you've got questions, please reach out to Mario and the team at Insight Intelligence, All it takes is a phone call to one of the team, and they will be able to let you know very quickly how they can help, if they can help, and what your next steps might be around things like fraud, identity, theft, and surveillance, investigative work, and fraud. And if you're a business listening and you're thinking that you have a fraud issue within your business or company, again, reach out to Mario because the team are experts and they will be able to lead you on to the next steps of what to do and how you can get that situation sorted. Mario, we were also going to mention, and I quickly want to mention because Mario also has a live radio show out of Sydney on Alive 90.5 FM on Wednesdays called Life is a Battlefield. And I quickly wanted to do a plug because it's a great show. Again,
Thank you, Tony.
Mario is an avid believer in the education of the world and to share with people about his life experience, which is extensive. I am absolutely privileged to call Mario one of my friends, and that my wonderful audience is your lot for this week. Mario and I will promise to be back next week. Don't forget to tune into the replays of the show. We will also replay this show in Australia and the US over the weekend as well because I think this is such important information for people to have. Mario Beckers, thank you so much for coming on
Thank
the
you so
show.
much.
It's a
Thank you so much,
privilege to
Tony.
co-host with you and I can't wait till our show next week. Mario
Looking
Beckers,
forward.
everyone, from Inside Intelligence. We will be
Thank you so
back
much.
next week. That's your lot for this week. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye. Bye.